Good morning.
Good morning.
It's the first time that I've been in this podium while I've been here at Pecan Grove. I'm usually a lot more comfortable in front of that one. So I just want to put that out front that this is not the most comfortable podium for me. When John asked me to speak, I kind of had some thoughts of what is it that I've experienced or what is it in my life that could maybe bring somebody else closer to Christ or give you something to take away. So I thought long and hard about it, and it was really only in this last week. And do I have the little thing? I'm going to turn it on, make sure it works. Okay, good. It was just in this last week when I remembered the issues that I see are a lot of trials and tribulations that we've gone through as a church family. And I thought that would really be something to maybe touch on and see if we can come up with a way to approach that. And I thought back to 1997. Oh, there's my... Well, I guess that's when I put my head down. It gets louder, huh? Okay. Oh, I was supposed to tell something about myself first, right? Isn't that what you do when you preach up here? You give a little personal thing, and then you bring it back later? Okay, well, that's what this is. Back in 1992 to 97, I did some mission work out of New Jersey. We lived in New Jersey. And it was in the Appalachian region of the country. And for those of you who don't know where that is, that's what's highlighted in the map here. And most of what we did was go down and help the area right in the heart of the mountains. And it was from West Virginia, which is in here, all the way down to Tennessee or Kentucky. And we took probably 50, 60 people down in teams of five or six and worked on homes to make them safer, drier, and warmer. It was part of this project called Appalachian Service Project. So they worked over 10 weeks in the summer. We were just one of the 10 weeks, so we rarely saw anything completed. We weren't the first week, so we rarely saw anything started. We were just kind of in the middle. But what we did see was a lot of what the region had, and the pain and the trials that were there. And these are just some of the statistics, and I'll let you read them. But the biggest ones that I saw were they had no vehicles to get around, they had no telephones, and this was really several years ago, but it's still true today. I pulled it off their website the other day, so obviously the same statistics hold true. It's some of the most beautiful area of the country, the Appalachian area, but it's also one of the most depressed. And what I saw, and it's, a lot of that happened because of the coal mining had stopped. So it's a really tough area. There's a lot of people without jobs and without a lot. I mean, really, they had very, very little. And I thought about what are the responses typically that we have to a mission trip? They really have a tough life. I mean, that was one that I came away with, is the people that are there really have a tough way of life. A lot tougher than mine. Why don't they move? Why don't they just go away from there? I mean, that's not a very productive area. Well, they don't because that's where all their family is, and that's all they know. So they have no way of getting out of there. And, you know, the other one that I come back with is, boy, my life really isn't so bad after all of that. And, you know, this is probably a first trip version of missions. Hopefully you come back with something a little more after you've done several. But, you know, my life isn't so bad. And I see that as still true. So trials and hardships. What did they have? They had very little as far as monetary income, as far as homes, as far as keeping the weather and everything out of their homes. It was tough. And I see lately we've had an extraordinary amount of hardship, as I would call it here, and trials here at Pecan Grove. And I think there's a lot of examples of that are right in front of us that were very very true. We've had broken bones, extreme pains, cancer, stroke, even Pam's passing are all things that our family here at church, that Pecan Grove, have had to go through as a family. So it's right in front of us. But there's also a lot that's maybe not as obvious, but still is debilitating. There's things going on in your life right now, maybe, that could be financial issues. There could be a spiritual dryness. There could be other physical issues that you have that we don't see. And if you don't have it, you probably will. My own lately, since March, I started a new job on the west side of Dallas. I was working from home and had all of the glory of working there and being a part of my family's life. And I went back to normal work life, as most males know it these days, of you go away and leave mom alone with the kids. And that was really tough for me. It's still tough for me. I had a lot of very tearful nights, and I'm still not over it. And it's been almost 5 months. So what have I done? I'll get to that later. So a lot of it is right in front of us, and some, like mine, is kind of hidden underneath, but it's still there, and it kind of rears itself almost every night for me. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. There will be hardship in your life eventually, at whatever level. So what do we do about it? I even think some of the quiet ones that just I thought about this morning, depression. I think of Robin Williams, who just passed, that he battled with depression for quite a while. It's not one of those things that you see outright, but it's hidden underneath. So yet another thing to look at. In the Bible, probably the best example that is given to us is the life of Job. And I know a lot of you know the story of Job, but let me just refresh you on the trials that he had. And I'm going to put the whole first chapter up here. I'm just going to read through it because there's enough in there that of the story that it's worth hearing. So bear with me as I just read. All right. Hopefully it's not too small for you. If it is, get your Bible out. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, that would be 1,000, 500 yoke, right? And 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. So obviously he's pretty rich, pretty well cared for, just an incredible, well gifted, given a lot in his life. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters and eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was his regular custom. I have to click to get the next one. There we go. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said that to Satan, "Well, very well, then. Everything he has is in your power. But the man himself, do not lay a finger on him." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, while Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties, swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Wow, that's a whole lot of stuff that happened in a very short order. Matter of fact, the one wasn't done speaking until the next one came and laid the same thing on him. So what did he lose? First, he lost 1,000 oxen and 500 donkeys that were stolen by the Sabaeans, and the servants were all killed. So again, people that are caring for those animals, all killed, except for one. Fire killed all of his 7,000 sheep, and those servants that were also killed. And the Chaldeans stole the 3,000 camels and also killed the servants. And finally, and to my feeling as a father, all of his 10 children were crushed by the house that was caused by a mighty wind. So, wow, what was his reaction? Let's read on. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. And then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So, quite a reaction. It's not quite the reaction that I might have had after all of that. Certainly all of that in one day. Even any one of those would probably be enough for me to not quite have that reaction. Maybe I might say a nasty word toward God about it. I might not, but I'd certainly be upset, as he was. As we read on, we'll hear a little bit more about some other trials of them. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with him to present himself before the Lord, before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan said to the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Not really sure what the heck that's all about, the going forth back and forth on it, but he said it twice. Anyway, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, replied Satan. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you face to face. Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out. There, went to a head. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all of this, Job did not sin in what he had said. There's a whole lot more to the story, but I wanted to stop here because it makes my point. How did he react? He was faithful, and he praised God. Could you be faithful after that much loss? Yes, you could. And just as Job was that faithful. It's not just an optimistic approach to life. It's not just things are, look at the glass that's half full or not half empty, or put on the rosy glasses. It's really taking an optimistic look, or taking a look of faithfulness and praise and thankfulness to God for what he's given, even though it may not line up with what you thought was the best for your life. God wants the best from us, and he wants the best for us. From us, he wants our praise and honor. He wants us to give him our best. What does that look like? What are some examples of praise and honor? For me, it's a whole lot of singing, because that's how I express myself, is in that praise. And that's not a lot of what I've been doing lately. So this was a great eye-opener for me. For us, he knows, we know the plans he has for us. And we know that he wants his best for us. As it said in 1 Thessalonians, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I guess see a little sign that came up here. That was more a note for me, but I thought of thankfulness, and the biggest one that could come out of it that was in a trial is Andrea. As you know, we have triplets, or if you don't know, we have triplets, and Andrea had triplets. And from January to May, she was on bed rest. In other words, she did not leave the bed unless she had to go to the bathroom or to a doctor. That was it, from January to May. It's a long time. And many people said, how could you get through that? Well, we set up lots of ways for her to get through it, but it was really still very tough. It was mentally tough for her. And what happened every day was Joan Thompson called her in the morning. And Joan said, I'm going to call and pray with you every morning, and I don't want to pray and hear about all your problems and all your pains and all your fears. I just want us to praise God in our prayers. And that's what they did every day. And she says, and you can ask her later, that was the one thing that got her through that much of sort of isolation, away from our church family for sure. Yeah, she had visitors, but there was a lot more time that she was home alone while I'm off at work than when she had anybody around her. So it was giving that praise to God that really got her through and got the focus on what was important. Speaking of what was important, I want to tell you the rest of the story about ASP. The Appalachian folks are really wonderful people. They have an incredible faith for God. They are very true to family, and family is very important. And the thing that really got me down there was, here we are with a bunch of teenage kids going down, or teenagers, and all of them are thinking about what toys they have to bring or electronics they have to be there. Well, they didn't bring any, but they thought about it. Not quite as bad as it is today. I'm sorry. But what they did have, the kids made do with what they had. The pieces of lumber that we cut off one day, the small blocks, when we came back the next morning, there were trails in the dirt, and they were pushing the blocks around like little cars. It's like, wow, that we don't need much to make a wonderful time for yourself if your attitude is correct, and if you have the faith that they did. They had love of family. They had appreciation for what they had been given, which in their case was very little, and they had immeasurable faith. And that was the inspiration that maybe past the first year of missions work that everyone brought back, is that, even in the face of what they were encountering and the life that they had been dealt, if you will, they had an incredible faith in God and a trust in God, that something that he wouldn't let them down, and that he would give them what they needed. God is bigger than in any trial or hardship, and that's kind of the theme that I would give to today. So what do we have to take away today? We all have or will have hardships or trials. It's going to happen. They may be big. They may be obvious. They may be something that's below the surface. They may be something that's spiritual. They may be a pain that isn't as obvious to you, but they're there, and they're debilitating. God gave us a great example in Job, one that kept his faith, eventually renewed that faith as he got toward the end of the whole story, but kept his faith in the sight and in the middle of all of that pain. Can you be faithful after that much pain? Yes. So my challenge to you is give God the praise continuously. And what does that look like? It could be a song, it could be a prayer, it could be just a memorizing verses for yourself, but that the Lord has given you a lot, and it's worth praising, even if it's a whole lot of pain. It's worth praising. Thanks. You taking it back? Okay.